turning deliciousness into a thriving business in Maine. Is there a family recipe everyone always asks you for? Maybe something you give out in pretty jars for holiday gifts? And have you ever wondered, could I sell this, turn it into a business? Well, that's how it starts, at least sometimes. And here in Maine, there are people who will help you turn your recipe or idea into something more. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we are talking to all of you would-be food and beverage entrepreneurs out there. We'll find out about the resources available from the UMaine Cooperative Extension and the Maine Center for Entrepreneurs. And we'll hear from some successful Mainers who have done it. Maybe you've heard of their products. Warning, this show just might give you ideas and make you hungry. Maine Calling is just ahead. Welcome to Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. It is a common dream taking that special food or beverage that you make or have a novel idea for and turning it into an actual business. Well, today we're going to learn how some people have turned that dream into a reality and what to consider before starting that food business. Joining me, Sue Hansen, who is program manager with the Maine Center for Entrepreneurs, and Jason Bolton, who is a professor and food safety specialist with the University of Maine Cooperative Extension. He is also area coordinator for the innovation program at the University of Maine Business School. We invite your questions and your comments. Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org. Post a comment to Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or call 1-800-399-3566. And a reminder that the phone number for Maine Calling is different than the one for Maine Public's pledge drive for today. For today's show, call 1-800-399-3566. And I would encourage you, if you have a question for our guest today, to call earlier in the show rather than later in the show. We find that that often happens, that people listen for a while, and then a whole bunch of calls come in at the end of the program when it's too late. So if you have a question about starting your food business, don't wait until the last minute to call in. So welcome to both of you. And I wanted to start just by asking you, Sue, you work with a lot of food business. Give us a sense of what different kinds of food products we're talking about. Some examples. I think people can think of some of the more famous food businesses in Maine. Think of maybe the products of Stonewall Kitchen, Ray's Mustard, places like that. But it really is a very large variety, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So we've worked with, probably since 2018, over 100 companies in multiple product categories in both food and beverage. So everything from mushrooms to pasta to sauces and salsas and seaweed products and seafood and spirits and confections, candy, chocolates, cookies, crackers. there are a lot ethnic products. So we've worked with a wide variety of product categories, which has been really fun.
Okay. I warned people they were going to be hungry after <Yeah. laughs> listening to you. Tell us about the Cultivator Program. And by the way, what a great name for the program, the Cultivator Program. Tell us about it and how it works.
Yeah, so the Cultivator Program is really designed for food companies that are more established, so past startup, who are looking to scale up their business and really take their business to the next level. So it's a holistic view of the company, including the functional areas of, say, management team and management processes, finances, operations, and sales and marketing. So really started to work with the company to dig deeper to, put processes and systems in place to take their business to the next level. Because what we see is, companies, when they start up, they can get to a certain amount of revenue, and then after that, they might plateau. So they need more help and to ratchet in on certain things to really take it to the next level. And we do work with startup companies, too, through our Top Gun program. And anybody that joins our Top Gun program, that is for startup companies, can leverage our resources and experts we have in the food industry as well.
Okay, so just to be clear, there's a couple different programs. There's a few different programs. There's the Top Gun program, there's the Market Share program, and then there's the Cultivator program, all kind of depending on where you are in your idea phase.
Correct, yeah, or where you are in your business life cycle, right? So, you know, in the Top Gun program is really for startups. People have an idea. They want to launch a product. Maybe they've launched and they have a little bit of revenue. Cultivator is for companies that are more established, maybe gotten to about $250,000 in revenue or greater. And then Market Share is further along, where people are more mature companies that are looking to more aggressively grow sales and distribution regionally and nationally and have the systems and processes and resources in place to do that. So it's a continuum kind of care for food companies through MCE's programs.
Wonderful. Now, Jason, I want to turn with you. You also work with closely with a range of food businesses. Give us some example of the kind of people that you may be working with.
Sure. Thank you. Yeah, and I want to say also the University of Maine food science and food safety programs work closely with Sue and her group and try to provide, you know, as many resources as possible. So, you know, specifically around food science and food safety. But the types of businesses that I've worked with, I mean, it can be from, and I say it's not only me, it's also our team of food science and food safety experts here at the university. But we've worked with very, very small startup companies. So startup companies that have just, they have an idea, they've been making a recipe for a sauce or ketchup or something along those lines or a baked good, all the way to then we work with companies that are established, like Sue said, and, you know, we help them through areas where regulations might be changing or they're growing or there's a new demand from a particular customer or stakeholder. And so we kind of work with them to help them adapt to those things. So some examples. You're going to have a few of them on the call today, which is exciting. But I've worked with, and the university has worked with, for example, Duck Trap for a very long time, since basically the start of their organization, and continue to work with them, placing students. Now their director of QC, quality control, is a student of ours, and we've worked very closely with them. And some examples of companies that have started up from, you know, very beginning we've been working, or I've been working with them. A great example, Sue's familiar with them, is Maine Craft Distilling. Worked with them since Luke Davison got started, and it's been a lot of fun to see the evolution of not only his business, but also the different products that they offer. But it really is all over the place. Another great one is Good to Go. And Jen Sism, who kind of runs that operation, to see them start in a small commercial kitchen and now grow to a much larger manufacturing facility, and now looking at even growing larger than that, I think is really exciting. And to see the array of products that she now offers, and you know, more importantly, the exciting products that she offers, and the people that she now employs. I mean, that's one of the goals here is that economic growth. I think that's what's so exciting, and to see them kind of grow as business owners, business operators. And so it's a great partnership that we really develop, and a lot of friendships that develop over the years, you know, when you talk about 5 or 10 years of working with someone.
Okay, Jason, I'm going to just sort of pretend I'm starting really small. I have some sort of product. I'm going to say I make a chutney every year out of green tomatoes, and my friends all love it. I give it as a gift every Christmas, and I think, wow, you know what? Maybe I can make this into a product. And what do I do? I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll try to start selling it at farmers markets, see if people like to buy it. But, you know, I realize there's going to be some food safety laws. What do I do? Do I turn to you first?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you're welcome, or anybody is welcome to contact our group of food safety experts. We're all either food science experts or food safety experts. And so to start doing something like that, you know, if you wanted to contact us, we're happy to walk you through it. But also we have a fantastic fact sheet that walks you through a lot of the basic processes. You know, what can I produce in a home licensed kitchen, which is that's a product that you could produce in your home licensed kitchen, versus when I might have to go to a commercial kitchen. So some higher risk foods, such as foods that might require refrigeration or freezing, you'll have to go to a commercial kitchen. But a chutney, for example, you can get a license to produce it in your home kitchen. And then you would not only get a license through the Department of Agriculture, you'd also get a license for mobile vending to sell at a farmer's market. And you would have to go through some of the requirements that the individual farmers markets might have. And then on top of that, you would get the product tested in our acidified food testing services that we offer here at the University of Maine. So you'd send that in for testing in its final package, in its final formulation, fill out this online form, and we're able to provide that service to people. That's the kind of the basics of it. Something simple like that is pretty easy. And then we can work with you if you want to create what we call line extensions or different flavors, or you have different products. And it doesn't have to be just, a home kitchen. If you want to start out, I work with a lot of companies that start out and they want to, start doing seafood. And that's something you can't necessarily do in a home kitchen, but we can work with them to help them find a commercial kitchen or build a facility or anything like that.
I'm going to go to Evan, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Evan. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks so much. Well, it's nice to be a guest here, and I really appreciate you letting me on to talk about this, because I've kind of done all this, and I feel like in the spirit of encouraging people to get out there and explore their own product ideas, we live in an amazing state for that. And it took me a while of, kind of sitting and working recipes out and figuring out exactly kind of what my angle was going to be and doing all the sort of admin stuff before I met with a few key people in my story in the state who, and as soon as I met with them, realized, oh no, there are people here who are helping. They want new ideas, they want new stuff there, and I just love that about Maine. I think when I talk to other people who have other food products in California and New York and Texas, it's just not the same, and I love that. And I think it's
so kind of, Evan, you have a food business.
I do. Thank you. It's Evan's Rockin' Hot Sauce. And I've been making my product in Maine since 2017. I've been in Maine for 8 years. And I can't say enough. The journey of starting this, my business, which is a small business, but it's experienced a lot of growth with the help of a number of people. I mean, one of Jason's coworkers, Beth Calder at UMaine, was a huge resource for me early on. I'm sure I took up the majority of her time in 2017 and 2018. But, it goes on. I used to work in a commercial kitchen in Kittery called Acorn Kitchen. So shout out to Susan Tuvison, who runs that facility. It's a smaller facility in Kittery. And now I'm at Fork Food Lab, which is an amazing kind of incubator and startup space, commissary kitchen space in Portland. Shout out to everyone there and Corinne Tompkins, especially the sort of membership GM and membership coordinator. We have a lot of people, women especially, who are like amazing women who are making this food scene happen. And they're out there like ushering in the next generation of food brands like mine. That was a huge thing for me starting. And I just love that. I love talking about that with people who don't live in Maine, kind of gloating about it even. But yeah.
Evan, thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate it. And really quickly, before we let you go, would you encourage somebody to go for it?
Absolutely. I spent a long time figuring out what I needed to do on the FDA's website to sell out of state and what I needed to do in state to make sure that my hot sauce was, checking all the boxes in terms of food safety and all that stuff. And I spent a whole lot of time doing that, but a single conversation with people that are in, Sue and Jason's position can just spark the whole thing. And I would say, yeah, get out there and do it. I mean, it's, I don't know how to turn a small business into an enormous, huge business. I'm working on that, but, we have amazing people who are there ready to have conversations. And sometimes the smallest advice can put you on a path that would, have you starting years before you thought,
Well, Evan, thanks so much for calling and offering your wisdom, and good luck to you and your business. Evan's Rockin' Hot Sauce. I hope this is a good holiday season for you. Really appreciate you calling into Maine Calling today. We're going to hear from some more food entrepreneurs after this break. If you'd like to call in, our phone number, which is a different phone number than for the pledge drive, our phone number for Maine Calling, 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from New England Naturopathic Health, now accepting Anthem Insurance Plans. Details at naturopathicme.com and by Patriot Subaru and Saco with the all-wheel symmetrical drive Subaru designed to help keep Mainers safe all winter. Patriot Subaru.
And good morning. You've been listening to another Maine Calling, connecting Mainers across the state for more than a decade now. And whether you're going to go out and buy some Evan's Rockin' Hot Sauce or some good to go, I'm Susan Sharon with the Deputy News Director here at Maine Public with my boss, News Director Mark Simpson. And Mark, it's nice to hear something nice and inspiring on a Friday morning as we wind up this pledge drive of 60th anniversary of Maine Public.
A little zesty, a little spicy. That's what you can get here on Maine Public Radio. It's a taste for the day, and we know that you want to take a bite of it. Please call 800-866-1475. Go to mainepublic.org. Two great ways you can give. My pleasure to be here with an amazing news team, incredible women in news. Jen Rook hosting Maine Calling, but Susan Sharon is a crucial member of our news team, helping to coordinate the movements of our local reporter force that goes out across the state each and every day, collecting stories and providing thoughtful news and analysis. We know that's important to you. We know getting a chance to say your piece is important. That's why we have great shows like Maine Calling. That's why we're asking for your call of support. 60 years of Maine Public Radio when you call 800-866-1475 and go to mainepublic.org, Susan.
That's right. Go to mainepublic.org, or if you're someone who sets the dial to 90.1 or whatever your station is, wherever you are in Maine, when you're renting a car, or you've made Grandma Stamberg's cranberry relish and you know that the secret ingredient is horseradish, or if you're someone who's memorized the radio schedule on Saturday morning and you know what comes after Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, then you are the person we're looking to hear from this morning, Mark Simpson, the person today who is going to make that pledge at 1-800-866-1475. First time person, today's the day.
That's right. Be that special ingredient. Be the horseradish in our cranberry relish, if you will, when you call 800-866-1475. Maybe this is your chance to become a first-time supporter of Maine Public Radio. That would be incredible to do in honor of our 60 years, started back in 1961. Give $10 a month if you can. Become an evergreen sustainer here at Maine Public Radio. You can have it on your credit card or your bank account, and then you give a small piece at a time to add up to the big pie there at the end. 1-800-866-1475. If you're already an evergreen friend, maybe you can add $5 a month to that tally. Make it 60 for 60 years here on Maine Public Radio. 800-866-1475, mainepublic.org. Click on that donate button.
And I like that 60 for 60 years. And at the $60 level, you can unlock Passport, Mark Simpson. Unlock Love Passport it. And watch your favorite Maine Public and PBS shows on demand. I just did this last night. It was awesome.
What did you demand, Susan?
I watched Dawnland. It was fantastic. 1-800-866-1475 or online at mainepublic.org. We're so grateful to those of you who've called in or made the pledge this week, but if you haven't done so already, please take that moment to do so now. It's quick and easy. Thank you so much. 1-800-866-1475 or at mainepublic.org, and we're going back to Maine Calling.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, we are talking about how to start a food or beverage business in Maine, and we're going to hear some success stories. My guest, Jason Bolton, who is a professor and food safety specialist with the University of Maine Cooperative Extension and also with the University of Maine Business School. And Sue Hansen, Program Manager with the Maine Center for Entrepreneurs. Share your comments and questions on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org or join us at 1-800-399-3566. Calling in now is Lori Kincaid, who is the co-founder of Green Bee. Thanks for calling in, Lori.
Thanks, Jen. I'm so psyched to be here.
Tell us what Green Bee is.
So Green Bee, we make all natural honey sweetened sodas and sparkling waters. We are sold in over 2,000 retail locations and restaurants from Maine down the eastern seaboard to the Carolinas, and next year we are adding even more distribution, which is going to help move us forward to our goal of becoming a nationwide brand.
Where are you based?
We are based right in Brunswick.
All right. Well, tell us what was challenging about turning your idea into a business.
Well, I would say challenging. Yeah, what we're doing has never been done before. Like, nobody has ever actually made an all-natural soda. Most other beverages have tons of chemicals and, you know, just nasty things you need a scientist to be able to read a label and describe. So the processes all had to be thought up and created by us. So that was very challenging, you know, as we learned to scale, you know, as our production grew.
What has your timeline been? When did you start up? How fast has it been to get to where you are today?
You know, we have been at it for 10 years, but it really started as more of a hobby, because I don't think that you can call something a business until you're actually making a living from it. So it literally started in our kitchen, and then it moved to our garage. And you know how many great companies start in the garage, right? And then we got our own facility, and, you know, we have grown every year since then. So it's slow, but it's steady.
Wonderful. Well, I expect you to follow in Steve Jobs' footsteps then, Lori. I wonder.
I guess.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I could definitely sport the black turtleneck.
What advice do you have for others considering starting a food or beverage business?
You know, there's two things. One is you have to be passionate. Like, I say that Green Bee is like my fourth child, and I love it. You have to love what you're doing. And the second thing is you can never, ever, ever give up. I always feel like for every no, there is a yes right around the corner. And you just have to maintain a positive attitude and just keep going every day and just knock on doors and don't be afraid to speak. I think literally being in Maine, it's just such an amazing state, because prior to COVID, we were always on the road, New York City, Boston, and down the eastern seaboard, because the way to grow a brand is you have to meet people and you have to, you know, tell your story. And the minute people hear that you're from Maine, it just opens doors, because everybody has this positive Maine experience. Like, I went to summer camp there, or my family owns a camp on one of the lakes, or I love Acadia. You know, and that's so important that it opens a door. You know, it opens the door to a conversation. And, you know, that is how you build a business and how you build a brand. It's, for us, it's literally been one person at a time, one bottle at a time.
Lori, thank you so much for calling in. Good luck to you. Good luck to Green Bee.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. My goodness.
And I wish all the future budding entrepreneurs just, you know, success and luck and happiness. You know, make your dreams come true.
That was Lori Kincaid. She owns Green Bee along with her husband, Chris. We're going to move on to Booth Bay Harbor and Barbara. Hi, Barbara. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you guys? And thanks for taking my call. And happy early Thanksgiving. I have a question. I used to run the kitchen at the Maine Botanical Gardens years ago when they wanted everything to, they wanted to pass their green certification and buy local. And so anyway, we did that and ran the kitchen. And I, a friend of a friend's introduced me to this coconut almond cookie recipe that was delicious. But we took a take on that and made it into a thin, crispy cookie by beating the egg whites, and they would, you know, melt out. And people just went nuts for them. And I was thinking, now it's years ago, but thinking about trying to revive that again and perhaps start in my home, of course, and then see what happens.
Okay. Jason, you want to give Barbara some advice?
Sure. First of all, I'd welcome her to contact us anytime if she has additional questions. But yeah, I mean, for a product like that, it's a relatively low-risk product, a cookie like that. So, you know, typically you're going to have to get a home processing license through the Department of Agriculture. And then typically a product like that, you wouldn't need to do any further testing because it's a pretty, like I said, low-risk product, as long as it wasn't a really high-moisture cookie at the end of baking. And then, you know, packaging it in a sealed bag or something like that, proper labeling where you have all your ingredients labeled, what the product is, location of where you produce it, things like that. And then if you wanted to sell it, you know, aspects online, or if you wanted to sell it at farmers markets and things like that, sometimes there's additional licenses. But it's pretty straightforward, and the licenses are relatively low cost. There's some of the fact sheets that we have online, including recipe to market fact sheet, can help walk through some of those things with appropriate links to how you access some of those licenses. But I would also welcome her to contact me directly, jason.bolton@maine.edu, and I'd be happy to answer any further questions.
Sue Hansen, anything to add to that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think starting with University of Maine and starting with Jason is the right place, right? And I think it's important to know, you know, as you're looking at that, where do you want to sell it, right? Because the regulation changed depending on where you want to sell it and how. And then, you know, just you can really just start and see where it goes and then work to then lay out some goals and objectives. But, you know, it's a great way to start testing your product with, you know, direct to consumer, you know, at farmers markets or selling online in the state of Maine. So that's, you know, a great opportunity to start.
Barbara, good luck to you. Thank you so much for calling in with your question. We are joined now by Ben Conniff, the co-founder and chief innovation officer with Luke's Lobster. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
Well, the idea of a lobster business, not exactly new in Maine. What do you think set Luke's Lobster apart?
It's a great question. I think there are a lot of lobster businesses that buy from fishermen and then sell the lobster out into the market. There's a lot of lobster businesses that are restaurants that serve to customers. But I think what really sets us apart is we do both. We're vertically integrated, so we're working directly with fishermen every day to buy at the dock and to make sure that's the best possible relationship you could ever have with your supplier and with your buyer. And then we're taking it, we're handling it all the way through the process to get it to our guests in our restaurants.
So you have so-called lobster shacks. I'm doing air quotes now. You can't see me. And you have those all over the country and even internationally. How'd the business become so successful?
Well, you know, I think it starts with the roots of the company, which are that my partner, Luke, is a third-generation lobsterman. He grew up in this world. He lobstered as a kid. He went through his student apprenticeship process. He became a commercial lobsterman before he ever started thinking about a restaurant. So we approached this business with the goals of serving sustainable lobster, supporting the lobster industry, and really just treating people the way we would want to be treated and treating the environment the way we knew it should. And I think having a set of really strong core values from the start really propelled us. It just made every conversation with every stakeholder, whether that was a supplier or a customer or anyone in between, that much better to know that we were a stakeholder and mission-driven company. I think that, along with just doing a really, really meticulous job of perfecting how we cook and handle our seafood, are the reasons that we've been successful.
Were there particular obstacles along the way? Is perhaps obstacles you didn't expect?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think for a food business, the biggest asset and the biggest obstacle is always people. You need to have amazing people by your side every day in order to achieve what you're trying to achieve. And we've been so lucky to have an amazing team. And I think, you know, with any stumble we've had, it's often been because maybe we grew a little too fast and we hadn't input the proper systems for training or communication. So we hit growing pains because, you know, we had to kind of take a step back and make sure that we were giving our team exactly what they needed. And that, I know you're going to get to advice at the end, but that is, you know, that is such a key thing, making sure that you're there working for your team every day and trying to anticipate what your team's going to need as you grow.
We heard Lori Kincaid before you, Lori Kincaid from Green Bee, talking about what the Maine brand has meant for her and her company as she's gone out to other states. And I'm wondering what that has meant for Luke's Lobster. I'm guessing pretty much everything.
Yeah, Lori's a great friend of ours, and she is spot on. Maine, especially when you're a lobster business, Maine is everything. There's nowhere else in the world that means half as much in connection with lobster than the state of Maine. It does, I think, go beyond that, though. It goes to an ethos, a feeling of this state, and it really ties into everything we're talking about, the cooperative nature of the food industry here, the resources the state makes available through folks like Sue and Jason. It's something that we internally call the Maine way. And we sort of contrast that to the times that we've lived in big, bustling cities where everybody is out there just trying to get their own agenda done. Maine is not that. Maine's a place where people always say please and thank you and hold doors and let you cross the street in front of their cars. And that's something that resonates with people outside the state. Anyone who's had any interactions with Maine and with Mainers, I think that wants to bring a piece of that home with them. And companies like ours and like Lori's and all these other great Maine food businesses kind of export that feeling the Maine way to places around the country.
So Ben, you were right. We're going to wrap up with some advice for would-be food entrepreneurs listening right now. What advice do you have? And really, what warnings do you have before they jump in with both feet?
Yeah, Lori was right. Passion is absolutely key. If you are starting a food business because you think it's a clever idea that's going to make you money, it's not. You're not going to be successful if you're not incredibly passionate about what you're doing and really believe in it. And I just want to say, looking forward, more important than ever, that you start your business with a set of moral values and you think about yourself as a mission-driven business, because that is what consumers are starting to demand and will demand and should be demanding, that the companies that they spend their dollars with are seeking to better the world, better the environment, be better partners to their suppliers, to their customers, and their community. So think about things like B Corp certification. Look into that before you start your company. Start to think about what those types of structures look like. And then really think about what's important to you, what's important to your community and your environment, and put that at the core of your business from the beginning.
Ben Conniff, thank you so much for calling in. Ben Conniff, co-founder of Luke's Lobster. Sue Hansen, I'm going to turn to you. Obviously, the folks calling into Maine Calling today are businesses that are succeeding. Without naming names, I know you don't want to do that, but asking you of examples of businesses that did not succeed for one reason or another, what are some of the reasons or stumbling blocks that businesses do not succeed in when we're talking about food and beverages?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question, because I think everyone's definition of success is different. So, you know, you do have companies Foster and Greenbee, right, who came on right away and said, we want to be a national brand and, you know, we want to be all over the place. And not everybody has that. And they might want to be a super local brand and maybe more, have more of a lifestyle business, which still to be very successful might not be across the country. And so might just want to be a regional brand. So I think that's important to know. But I think companies who have started and then maybe stopped their company, like, so, you know, they just went out of business. I think some of the major things really are, you know, truly understanding mostly the costs and profitability, right? Just gets down to when you do start a business, it is important, like everybody said, you know, Ben nailed it with in terms of kind of your mission, having that passion. But, you know, if you're going to have a business, you need to be in business to make some money. You know, MCE, Maine Center for Entrepreneurs, is a nonprofit organization. And working with some of the companies I've worked with, you know, I've said, well, we're nonprofit. And they're like, well, we're nonprofit too. And I'm like, but you're not supposed to be nonprofit. So let's work to make you more profitable. And I think, you know, the food business is a really competitive market, right? There's a lot of products out there. Your product has to, you know, have a very strong value proposition. It has to taste good. It has to be safe, obviously. But, you know, you need to understand the costs of doing business. And you have to, you know, be able to fund that while you, you know, make a living yourself. You know, so I think sometimes people feel guilty about making money, but you're in business to make money, to really sell your products. And get it into people's mouths, and there's that whole passion behind it, but you've got to, you know, be profitable. And, you know, it's hard. The margins aren't huge, and the, you know, cost, depending on where you go, you, you know, have to do promotions and things, and that, that costs a lot of money. You need to be you need to understand that stuff before you expand.
Thank you. We are talking about starting a food business or growing a food business. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from the Island Institute, helping Maine's island and coastal communities navigate change in our economy and climate. Join today, islandinstitute.org, and by A Family for Me, a Spurwink program dedicated to finding families for Maine children in foster care. Learn more at afamilyformemaine.org.
Good morning. You're listening to Maine Calling here on Maine Public Radio. Hi, I'm Mark Simpson, news director here at Maine Public, and I'm joined by one of my key collaborators and planners, a wonderful colleague, Susan Sharon, who's our deputy news director. Sharon, how you? Susan Sharon, how you doing?
Good morning. Good morning. Everybody calls me Sharon. It's fine. Even you. Good. We're getting some good advice on this program today that's so applicable to even what we do at Maine Public Broadcasting and for this particular pledge drive. I mean, we've heard advice about having amazing people by your side and anticipating what your team is going to need in the future and thinking about yourself, thinking about your mission of being a mission-driven organization, which we are, Mark Simpson, which is why we're so grateful for our audience and why we're asking those of you who have not yet made a pledge to please do so now. This is, we're wrapping, trying to wrap up this pledge drive, trying to position this organization for the next 60 years. It's our 60-year anniversary, amazingly enough. And the number to call is 1-800-866-1475.
1-800-866-1475. 60 years of Maine Public Incredible started back in 1961. We're asking people to consider who haven't made a contribution before, maybe take that step from being a longtime listener to becoming a first-time listener contributor. Make that first-time donation now when you call 1-800-866-1475 or give at mainepublic.org. You can, of course, text the word give as well to that number, 800-866-1475. Of course, you, the public, are important members of our team, the most important member, because the biggest chunk of our budget pie comes from you, the listening audience, more than 70% of our budget there. 1-800-866-1475, mainepublic.org. Incredible local news team, I have to say here. Susan Sharon, you work closely with our team of reporters each and every day, getting them out across the state, covering the stories that are important.
Yes, we do. And, you know, I just like what you said about the team. We have a really good team. We have some new members on our team, But we wouldn't have the team without the support of the people who are listening right now. And those are our members, supporters, and listeners, and maybe the people who haven't yet gone to the phone and made the pledge. But we value your input. We want you to be with us. This is a team effort. It's kind of like the potpourri of public radio right here is what you got. 1-800-866-1475 or online at mainpublic.org.
You know, one of the great things that we offer here is the live listener call-in show, Maine Calling, happening right now. It's leading into the lunch hour. Boy, they picked a tasty topic for today. I can't wait to start eating after hearing all of these great ideas from the wonderful entrepreneurs we have here in the state of Maine. Incredible business community. We love to talk about their stories because it's really your story. That's what we do here in public radio. We want to tell the stories of Mainers all across, from all points, I should say. 800-866-1475. You make it happen and help make it happen for us here on the last day of the drive, the last Friday that you can give here before Thanksgiving when you call 1-800-866-1475 or mainpublic.org. 800-866-1475, mainpublic.org. You know, you can still give while the program's on, and we're just going to head back to that in a moment. Click on that donate button on the page or text the word give to 800-866-1475 and thanks.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You are listening to Maine Calling. Our topic today, what it takes to start a food or beverage business and some examples of successful such businesses in Maine. Joining us, Sue Hansen with the Maine Center for Entrepreneurs and Jason Bolton with UMaine's Business School and Cooperative Extension. If you're quick, you can join the conversation at 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainpublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post a comment on Facebook or Instagram. Joining us now is Karen Goetz, who is the founder of Maine Crisp. I'm going to guess, but I'm not going to say it out loud. What do you make and sell at Maine Crisp, Karen?
Sure. Thanks for having me and the opportunity. We make gluten-free crackers, and they are studded with fruit, nuts, and seeds, and we use 100% Maine-grown buckwheat flour.
Oh, buckwheat flour. Yum. How did you decide to make Maine Crisp into a business?
Well, I started in my home kitchen and doing everything by myself, which a lot of people get started that way, and quickly realized that if it was going to, you know, become a business, it had to grow. Like, you just couldn't do it on this small scale and that much attention to every little detail by yourself. So that's what I set out to do then, and say, okay, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to grow it into a much larger business.
Did you work with the guests on our program today? Did you work with UMaine Cooperative Extension and the Maine Center for Entrepreneurs?
I did work with the Maine Center for Entrepreneurs and still do.
What would you tell someone interested in starting a business like yours?
It takes a lot, but don't get discouraged. One day you think everything's going super. Another day you feel like, oh my gosh, why did I start this? But you know, you really have to, you know, decide what you want to do. If you're capable of starting a food business in your home, that's a great way to start because it allows you to experiment. It allows you to, you know, especially like visit stores like co-ops who are eager to bring in local products, get customer feedback before you take a much bigger plunge into a commercial kitchen and, you know, rent and things like that. So if you're able to do that, that's a great way to get started and get your product out there. And you really need to have something that stands out in the market because there's so much competition out there. So you really are looking for, you know, what's different about your product? What makes yours stand out?
So interesting. Buckwheat is kind of having a moment right now, isn't it?
It is. It is. And you're starting to see it in added in more products, more of the gluten-free and grain-free products. And so that's great to see because you have a lot of people, just because of the name, believe that, you know, it's part of the wheat family or that it contains gluten. But it's actually related to rhubarb. And we use buckwheat from the Bouchard family farm up in Fort Kent. And they are also certified gluten-free.
Are you planning to expand your business?
We are. So we are in the process right now. So, in, 2017, I moved into a commercial facility, which was about 1,500 square feet. And in the past year, our investors have purchased a 17,000 square foot manufacturing facility that we're in the process of building out right now. And so we'll be able to, triple, quadruple our capacity and bring our team over. And we were really fortunate because we're located in Waterville, and the new facility is just across the bridge in Winslow. So we get to keep our core team of bakers and who have been with us for a couple of years now. And so the future is looking bright.
Boy, in Waterville, yeah. So your Central Maine is really turning into such a center for, I mean, you've got in Skowhegan, the whole Maine Grain Alliance. This is the future, isn't it?
It is. There's a lot of good stuff happening around here, and it's really great to see. And Waterville sort of, you know, going under its own renaissance with things that Colby College is doing. And Central Maine is becoming quite the happening spot.
Well, before I let you go, Sue, Jason, anything you'd like to say to Karen Getz at Maine Crisp?
Just keep going. You guys are doing a great job. And anything, you know.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Karen Getz at Maine Crisp, thank you so much for calling in. Jason, you're with UMaine Cooperative Extension, Sue Hansen, Maine Center for Entrepreneurs. Jason, any other resources in Maine that you would like to call attention to?
Yeah, well, I want to echo some of the things that the other callers said. You know, Evan and Ben, Lori, Karen, they've all kind of echoed that. I mean, Maine is a pretty amazing place for food for many of the reasons that they listed and many more. And we're excited as a food team, not only here at Extension, but all of our collaborations with Sue and with other campuses in the University of Maine system and also other departments. We're excited to work with these food businesses, and we're happy to help them out in any way we can, including visiting them. So one of the things that I do is I go out in a lot and visit companies that are established or starting up. I help them design facilities. Think about how they might deal with an inspection, not only from a state, but also federal or even a third-party audit that might be required as they sell to different organizations, as Sue mentioned. But I also want to quickly mention that the Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry has been a fantastic partner to work with them. Those are the folks that will regulate the vast majority of food companies here. And they really are a partner to us, but also want to see these food businesses succeed. You know, they're not the folks that are out there to shut you down. They're really out there to make sure that you're meeting the regulations, but also educate you at the same time. You know, hey, you got to think about this, or this isn't quite up to the regulation standard. So I want to really give a shout out to them. They're a fantastic partner. And our goal as Extension educators is truly to educate, to provide education so that they can make the right decisions. And so we offer all kinds of educational trainings. They're required both by state entities, but also federal regulatory entities. And also we have fantastic internship programs, getting our students training in food science or business or innovation out there working with these startup companies. So, for example, our Innovate for Maine program is a fantastic way for not just food companies, but any company to get access to a student. And also the Maine Business School has an internship director who will work with startup companies or established companies to get students out there, hopefully so that these companies will hire them later so that they have a job and they can stay in Maine. So there's just numerous resources at the university and then across the state for businesses, specifically food businesses.
Great. And we're going to put a whole lot of links on our webpage and Facebook page. Jason, thank you so much for that. Just about a minute to go. And Sue, I want to ask you, we heard Karen Getz of Maine Crisp talk about her crackers that are made of buckwheat, which made me think about so many buckwheat products out there today. And I'm wondering what other trends you're seeing out there in the food world, especially trends that, kind of have a foothold here in Maine or maybe the future that you are seeing percolating here in the Maine food scene?
Yeah, so you see a lot, on plant-based, when people talk about plant-based foods, which that could really extend, seafood obviously is, would fall under there, right? So like non-meat
products, but I think you'd see a lot with kind of baking goods and different ingredients, oats, buckwheat. You see a lot happening there. A lot of consumers are looking for better for you products. And so back to what everyone's saying, and we've got this abundance of natural resources here, and we're such like a clean, energy and state, and clean soil and clean oceans. And I think that really resonates with a lot of people. And then really, people are really starting to want to know where.
Oh gosh, Sue, I think we're losing you. Thank you so much to both of you for being on our show today. That's Sue Hansen, Program Manager with the Maine Center for Entrepreneurs, and Jason Bolton, Professor and Food Safety Specialist with the UMaine Cooperative Extension and with UMaine's Business School. Today's sound engineer, KG Akimoladun. Our theme song was composed by Mike Jandreau. Maine Calling produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Maine Calling is, of course, on Maine Public Radio.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Evergreen Home Performance with careers in home energy efficiency renovation. Learn more at evergreenyourhome.com/careers. By the UMaine Alumni Association, inviting you to learn how Black Bear alumni are helping shape Maine's economy at umainealumni.com/impact. And by the Maine law firm of Eaton Peabody, serving generations of Maine families and businesses from offices in Augusta, Bangor, Brunswick, Ellsworth, and Portland.
Holy buckwheat pancakes out there in listening land. I am hungry after that Maine Calling. Hi, Mark Simpson here, News Director at Maine Public Radio. Happy to be with you during this, the final day of our 60th anniversary drive. We're hoping that you can call with a gift of support to 1-800-866-1475 or go over to mainepublic.org. Click on the donate button right there. And I'm so happy to be with Susan Sharon here, our Deputy News Director, an incredible colleague who really helps our local news team get out there. Susan, I'm hungry after that.
Oh my gosh, that was a great show. It was a great show to have on a Friday before Thanksgiving. And just, it's been a tough year for so many small businesses and so many businesses in Maine. And so just great to hear how they persevered and what their words of advice are, and also to hear about the great stuff they make. And I'm familiar with some of those companies, but wow. Anyway, if you're grateful for your small businesses and for services that you can count on, like this one, Maine Public Radio, which has been coming out for 60 years now over the airwaves and evolving as the times go by, please think about giving us a one-time donation of support or a monthly pledge of support, Mark Simpson. If you do it by the month and you become an Evergreen member and you set the rate that's comfortable for you, there are some gifts waiting in the wings.
Let's consider continue on the food theme. Take a small bite instead of a big chunk there. Maybe you can do $10 a month. Boy, that would work out really great if you call 800-866-1475. Go to mainepublic.org, become an Evergreen friend to Maine Public Radio at the $10 a month level, and you get to unlock some great premium gifts here. We've been talking about these super cool -33 merino wool socks with the Maine Public logo on them. I haven't put them on my feet yet, but I have intelligence, Susan, that they're pretty comfy, pretty warm, and people are liking them out there. So if that's of interest to you, call 800-866-1475. Consider a $10 a month gift to Maine Public Radio. That'd be great. Or, you could get the newly revamped Maine Public Radio mug. Starts with a navy blue with the current logo. And then in honor of the 60 years, you pour in your hot beverage. It changes color, hazam, and it reveals logos of the past. Logos of the past from Maine Public. You can live through the memories there, all the great times you've had. 1-800-866-1475, mainepublic.org. Two great ways you can give.
And we are getting ready to come up. We've just come out of Maine Calling, but getting ready for the new news. And there is some news happening today. We've got some news about what's happened with Build Back Better and Jared Golden, the second district. We'll be having the Maine's Political Pulse coming up this evening to give us all the analysis about what that vote meant and what it means from here in Maine. That's with Steve Missler and Kevin Miller and Erwin Gratz. Those guys do some great political analysis. It's something that we've added to our news programming in the last couple of years, Mark.
That's right. We've added that. Also, Friday is the day that our newsletters go out. You mentioned the Political Pulse. The newsletter is already out underway. The 10 also goes out on that day. So really, we're revamping up and trying to get as many news products out there as we can. It's because we've heard from the public, because we are a public radio. We do ask and want to know, what are you interested in? They want more. They say they want more. They tell us things are important to them. Issues like climate change, Susan. That's why we've undertaken this massive initiative over a year to commit to covering climate in the state of Maine. It's called Climate Driven. Dropped last week, was in York County, Susan, and some incredible stories there.
That's right. We're trying to take a county by county approach to climate change. We really want to drive home what's happening at the local level and connect people to where they live to what's happening, how their community is responding and what they can do. We're going to head next to Oxford County, Mark, and we're going to have stories about weatherization, public transportation, electric cars, the skiing industry, and making snow. Those are just a few of the stories coming up. We'd love to hear your feedback about it. And we'd also love for you to, if you value this kind of reporting and the other wonderful programming, diverse programming you get here at Maine Public, to call 1-800-866-1475 or just go online. It only takes a minute at mainepublic.org.
That's right, 1-800-866-1475 or mainepublic.org. Here, as you listen to WMEA Portland at 90.1, WMEH Bangor at 90.9, WMEW Waterville at 91.3, WMED Callis at 89.7, WMEM Presque Isle at 106.1, WMEF Fort Kent at 106.5, and WMEP Camden at 90.5.